Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaykum, peace be with you. I'm Eddie, your host. You're watching The Dean Show, and I have the author of Holiday Myths, Dr. Hakeem Quick. And Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and after this show, you'll never look at Valentine's Day again the same. We got some facts, not fiction, for you to give you the origins of Valentine's, and then let you at the end decide, is this something that I should be celebrating, that I should bring and incorporate into my life and with my children and my family? We're going to let you be the judge after this exciting show about Valentine's Day here on The Dean Show. Don't go nowhere.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean. This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean.
This is The Dean Show.
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 Welcome back to The Dean Show, and in The Dean Show studio, Dr. Abdullah Hakeem Quick. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Walaikum salam.
Peace be with you. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
I'm very excited. You know what? This is what we call the destiny of the creator of the heavens and earth. Because let me tell you what was going on in my mind. You know, I was thinking, like, alhamdulillah, word got out that you're coming into town at the DePaul University. You're giving a lecture. But I'm traveling on the weekend. But your lecture's on the weekend. I'm like, you know what? And the brothers from El Maghrib, I used to know the former Amir there, so nobody reached out to me. Usually we used to collaborate, anybody will come out, you know, and we'll get him on the show. So it just, I was like, you know what, I was a little sad. I said, man, you know, he's going to be busy, and I'm going to be traveling. But then I get the call. Yusuf gives me a call, the brother who's the attorney who approached you, and he said, I'm here with Sheikh Abdul Hakeem Quick. I said, The Dean Show, tell him, is he available? Let's do the show, because we've worked together before, you know? And then we get on the phone, Allah made it happen. And we're here, again, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Amazing. So that was very interesting. As I open the show, we're talking about now this holiday that's coming up, Valentine's Day.
Mm.
And, you know, this is something that, you know, is dominant now in the culture, you know. And so we want to educate the people somewhat of the roots, to talk about the roots, where this is coming from. And at the end, you know, let the people make a sound decision. You know, is this something really that I want to teach my children? Is this something that I want to propagate in my family? And a lot of Muslims, you know, nowadays, you know, Valentine's hits, the women starting in some of the schools, I don't know if you notice this, they start to wear the pink hijabs, the boys wearing the pink shirts, and, you know, it's all innocent, but at the end, you know, Fatima gets pregnant, or John, you know, has a baby out of wedlock, and it's not so innocent anymore.
That's
so
right.
let's talk about Valentine's Day, Sheikh.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa bihi nasta'in wa ba'd. It is important for us, when we look at the issue of holiday myths, that we look at the whole picture. And from the beginning of time, people worshipped the Creator in different ways. The Quran tells us in the chapter of the bee, Surah An-Nahl, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. And verily we have sent to every nation a messenger, that they worship Allah and stay away from false gods. So amongst the people there were those who believed in one God, but there were also people who based their religion on natural things. So they based their religions on the movement of the sun, the stars, the heavenly bodies, also on the natural seasons. So whether it's summer season, fall, winter, spring. Also on reproduction, so the mysteries of sexual activity and reproduction within nature. So these nature groups spread throughout the world, and they came in contact with the teachings of Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, when some of his followers ended up in Greece and in Rome. And we know that these followers, to a great extent, were influenced by Paul, who had accepted his teachings, but then started to change the message somewhat, sort of opening up the doors for other types of beliefs. Now, what comes out of this is that the Romans reacted against the believers in one God, and they began to torture them. So you'd see that not only the gladiators in the Colosseums, but also Christians were being tortured, thrown to the lions and the hyenas and the dogs. And so somewhere along the line, somebody said or did the old saying, if you can't beat them, join them. And so an amalgamation between the nature-based religions and the belief in one God came about, so that what existed was a new religion, a new form of spirituality. And that combined, the basis of it was these three elements: the movement of the seasons, the heavenly bodies, and sexuality. And so the cults began to influence. And so we are going into February now, and coming out of January, coming out of the New Year's. And that was a big confusion for a lot of Muslims, because December 25th was not actually the birthday of Christ.
He wasn't born on December 25th.
No, I mean, most theologians will agree he was born in the warm weather.
Yeah.
Even in the Christian belief, the shepherds had their flocks outside, they were paying their taxes, and the taxes were paid with ripened fruits. And these only come about in the warm seasons. The Islamic concept has Mary, Maryam, may Allah be pleased with her, being told by the angel, shake the date palm tree and the ripe dates will come down. That happens in the warm season.
Now when I introduced the show, I mean, when I introduced you before you came out, I said you're a historian. Is that you study this in depth?
Right. I have a PhD, a master's and a PhD from the University of Toronto. And also it's my passion to study history and to look at the roots of words and what influences us in the world today. So when you look at this season now, people are talking about the birth of Christ, but actually the ceremony that is going on is the Bacchanalia of the Greeks and the Saturnalia of the Romans. And this was a drunken orgy, and so many different strange things are happening. And this is the reason why people get confused in the Christmas season, because it's supposed to be the birthday of Christ, but there is more alcohol being drunk, more people being raped, more death on the highway than any other time of the year. So that's where you get those clashes between the two. Now, going into January, the solar calendar tells us that actually the new year is not January. And people will say, well, how can you say this? But let's count in Latin. September is septum, that's seven. October, like an octagon, eight sides, that's the eighth month of the year. November is nine, and December is the 10th month of the year, not the 12th month of the solar year. That's clear in the Latin. The 11th month was January, and the 12th month is February, so the beginning of the year for the people who followed the seasons was in March. Okay, so January was based on Janus, who is the two-faced god. He's got one face of spirituality and another face of materialism. And that's the hypocritical nature of the New Year's celebration. It's supposed to be a spiritual event, but actually, again, people are drinking alcohol and being involved in a lot of riotous occasions. So this is the confusion. Now, going into February now, there was a celebration done by the Romans called the Lupercalia. And the Lupercalia was based upon their gods of Pan and Juno. And February is actually named after one of their gods as well. And so this is a time where you're coming out of the winter and you're going toward the spring season. And so they used to have large gatherings of young people, and they would take the name of women, put them in a large container, and the men would choose them and literally have a sexual relationship. So it was based upon this, you know, Cupid concept. The Greek word is Eros.
This is modern-day Valentine's?
Yeah, so I want to tell you where it comes in now.
Yeah.
The Greek word is Eros, erotica.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so erotica is basically sexuality. And so that was the main issue on this occasion. And this is where you get Cupids from, and hearts and things like that, because this is actually the ceremony of, you know, open sexuality. What happened was they combined this with an individual named Valentine, who in the Roman times, in the third century of the Roman era, he was protecting young people. The Romans said no marriage because we want men to fight strong in battle, so we're not going to let you get married. Valentine, you know, a religious priest, he disagreed with this. They put him in jail. He went against the state. Eventually, they executed him. And on the day of his execution, he wrote a letter to two of the young people getting married, and he said, "From your Valentines." So that's where Valentine, he's Saint Valentine's. So they took the concept of the open sexuality, put the name of a Christian priest on it, so it seems like a holy day, but actually it's the open sexuality of the Lupercalia. And that is the dangerous thing for Muslims and people of conscience to get involved in this, because what happens is pornography, erotica, this overcomes everything else. So it seems like it's innocent. It's like they say, a wolf in sheep's clothing. It seems like it's innocent because Valentine was protecting young people. But the reality is, it is an occasion where more people commit fornication and adultery, where rape happens, unwanted pregnancy. It is actually a dangerous time.
We're going to take a break, Shay. We're going to continue on here with the Valentine's holiday that is right around the corner, and we want you to be educated, so we got an educated historian here to kind of give you the roots of it, and we're going to be asking some more questions here on the Dean Show, so don't go nowhere.
You think these things are going to bring you happiness? You know why you keep going back to the club and you keep going back to these desires? Because you never find satisfaction. It's going to end up causing you, if it hasn't already, a lot of pain. You think you're happy? You're kidding yourself. You really are. What we are offering in Islam, what we have found in Islam for ourselves, is a means by which our hearts are at peace. They're at rest. They're not discontent. We are pleased with what we have.
Back here on the Dean Show with Dr. Sheikh Abdullah Hakim Quick, we're talking about Valentine's right around the corner. Tell us now, okay, so is there anything more to the root here? Started off with something of promiscuity, so erotic, you know, it's not about getting together in marriage the way the Creator wants. This is just, you know, just hook up, you know, freestyle, whatever goes. So they take this this Christian man, his name is Valentine, put his name on top of it and call it Valentine's?
Right, so he is an innocent person. He is a religious person who's protecting young people and wanting them to get married according to the rules of the church.
Yeah.
But the ceremony that's underneath, the current that's underneath, is loose sexuality. And this is where you see pictures of the Cupid. Because this is Cupid, his Greek name is Eros.
Yeah.
That's erotica. Uh-huh. And that is the reason why you will see in many of the movies today, erotica is an overriding concept. So the movie stars are in space and they're fighting aliens and someone falls in love. They're under the ocean fighting, you know, a beast under the ocean, someone falls in love. They're playing baseball or basketball, somebody falls in love. Every movie, they're falling in love. Why? Erotica. So erotica is this concept coming out of the Greek culture that, you know, pushed the people towards loose, open sexual relationships. And this, of course, is very destructive to society. Not only is it going against, you know, the law of God, but secondly, it creates unwanted pregnancies, sexually transmitted diseases. It is one of the big problems and plagues in the world today when people do not organize their life, take responsibility for their sexuality. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of damage that actually comes along with it, especially for the women. And so therefore, we're saying to Muslims, don't play around with the devil. Don't play around with evil things and think that it is sport and play. Because what is happening is that young people are being fooled into focusing their life on their sexuality, as opposed to focusing their life on their education, on their physical fitness, and then grow into their sexuality. This is how societies develop themselves over the centuries. And of course, the last revelation, you know, of the Quran brought us the beautiful example of the husband and the wife and the family and how people can protect themselves and how sexuality can actually be a beautiful thing. It can be a halal, permissible thing, and not something wild and uncontrolled.
Tell us now, for the person who's just tuning in, you know, they got their friend and they said, look, man, this Valentine's Day, there's more to it. But you know what? It's in our public schools. It's all over the place. Look, Johnny just wants to tell Susie that she's cute. You know what I mean? Innocent, no. Kids are passing around. What's the big deal?
Well, of course, again, this is the wolf in sheep's clothing.
Wolf in sheep's clothing.
Meaning that it appears to be innocent on the outside.
Yeah.
And, you know, if a boy is passing a comment to a girl or vice versa, there's nothing wrong with that in the essence. The problem is that the socialization, that the society itself teaches people how to take it a step further. And so when they watch the television programs or movies, then they will see how it goes a step further. Even cartoons, the two ducks, you know, in the cartoons
even
are falling
ducks.
In love.
Even ducks.
Donald Duck. I mean, everybody's falling in love now.
Yeah.
And so that's erotica. And so the dangerous thing is, it opens up the door, you know, to a bottomless pit. You know, it's a dangerous area because sexuality is a natural thing. And when we look at the Quran, it tells us, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاهِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. The Quran, the last testament, says, do not come close to fornication and adultery.
This is what God Almighty, the Creator, said.
That's what God said, because it is an abomination and it will destroy everything in the path. Now, other sins, do not kill, do not steal, do not be jealous of your neighbor. You know, Allah says, don't do it. وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Don't kill innocent people. Allah didn't say, don't commit adultery. He said, don't come near adultery. Now, what Islam is saying about sexuality is very important, because the Creator of the heavens and the earth is revealing to people there are certain actions that you shouldn't do. You shouldn't kill, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't be jealous of your neighbor, you shouldn't, you know, be involved in magic and taking of interest and so forth and so on. But when it comes to adultery and fornication, Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاهِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا in Surah Al-Isra. So it says, don't come near fornication, don't come near adultery, because it is an abomination and it will destroy everything in the path. So this is a dangerous thing. It doesn't say, don't commit adultery. It said, don't come near it. Now, why is there a difference between killing and adultery? Because killing is not a natural thing. And any human being who sees another person killed, it should be repulsed by that. It's an ugly, detestable thing. But sexuality, that's what our bodies are created for. And so a man is naturally attracted to a woman. A woman is attracted to a man. So that's why Allah said, don't come near it. Because it's something that we want to do. We are built to do that in order for the species, you know, to maintain itself. So therefore, what Islam is saying is that, yes, have sexuality, but do it within the confines of marriage. Do it in an organized fashion where the man respects the woman, where the family is set up, you know, where he takes care of his children. That's the way it is. The Lupercalia, the Valentine's erotica concept, is uncontrolled, undisciplined sexuality. And it starts with that little note sent to Jane or sent to Zainab.
That's how it starts off, just the innocent.
That's how it starts.
But then
the pink hijab.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if they have pink kufis or, you know, the pink thobe.
So we don't do
or whatever
that.
It is. No, we don't get involved at all.
And people of consciousness, Muslims, those who have consciously submitted to the one creator, just the same way as Jesus, Moses, because we follow in that same tradition of worshiping God alone, not his creation. Muslims, that was a Muslim is. We should understand this. But you mentioned earlier, people of consciousness, people, they're not Muslim yet. We hopefully they'll submit to the one God and do what God wants them to do on his terms, not their desires. People of consciousness should understand this, right?
Exactly. And you'll find there are groups in Christianity and Judaism and other religions that know about the history of the Lupercalia. They know this. And they also are protecting themselves and their sexuality. There are Christian groups who give out a ring. They pledge themselves. They put on a ring and they say, we are pledging ourselves to have sex in marriage. We're not going to be involved in illegal sex until we get married. These are Christian groups, because this is the basis in all upstanding religions, you know, to protect the family, to protect the sexuality, and therefore you protect society.
Jay, we're going to take a break, and God willing, we'll be Back with more here on The Dean Show.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Okay, you've got your dream home and you've got your dream car, but you're going to get old and things are going to happen to you in your life. And then what have you got? At the end of the day, it's an empty dream that has no real foundation. We are going to die and we're going to meet our Lord and He is going to judge us.
It becomes an obligation for each single human being to find out what the Quran is. Islam is telling us to stay away from things which are bad for your person and bad for the society.
Killing of innocent human beings. Human life is precious.
There'll always be someone that'll be there to say something negative, but at the same time, there'll be someone there to say something positive also. So just hold on to the rope of Allah.
Everything in this universe rely and need Allah.
The Quran says, don't kill women, don't kill children, don't kill the old people, don't attack the civilians. This is what the Prophet Muhammad told us.
Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said that the Prophet ﷺ never ever start a war against anybody.
And if we're going to worship something, I figured I might as well worship the Creator instead of any of the creations.
Now, you know, upon investigating all the religions, I remember finding out the meaning of what Islam is, what a Muslim is. Those who surrender themselves to God is a Muslim. Those who surrender, submit to God, God's will. That is it. Islam was pure. It was just, you just pray to God, your Creator.
Back here on The Dean Show with Dr. Abdullah Hakim, quick, giving you the roots of Valentine's Day, showing that it's not that innocent when it starts off that way, but then you see what transpires at the end. Mm. You know, so you mentioned, just before we get into the next, you mentioned adultery. So the person says, look, I'm dating. I'm not like dating anybody's wife. I wouldn't do adultery. But when we say, when you're talking about adultery, you're talking about any kind of fornication?
Yeah, basically what we're talking about is not just the physical act of adultery, but being alone, you know, with the opposite sex.
Because someone thinks adultery now, that's like when you cheat on your husband or wife.
Yeah.
I'm not married though, I got a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Is that allowed?
Islamically, again, it's a complete different concept than the loose society that people are living in. And actually, if you looked at America before 40 years, even 30 years, you will see that most people actually waited until they were in their late teens, 20s, you know, before they even started to date. And before that, they wouldn't have any sexual relationships until they were married. This is how this society actually was in the past. It's the basis of societies all over the world. And it's only recently when erotica now enters into Hollywood and literature and it starts to overtake everything. And changing society, and then, you know, people start, you know, taking off their clothes. Originally, when people used to swim, they had long clothings. If you look at people in the early 20th century, a woman would have a bathing suit that covered most of her body. I can remember when I was young, growing up in America, in Boston, and I watched a movie called I Love Lucy.
Yes.
And in that program, Lucy and her husband, according to the rules of television at that time, they could not sleep in the same bed. So therefore, when nighttime came, Lucy would go to her bed and her husband would go to his bed. Now look what's on television. Now it's like XXX in a normal movie.
Is it just advancement, like advancement in technology, or decline of moral society?
It is actually decline. And what it is leading to is a society that has no limits. That where modesty is gone and where respect for the family is gone, and this is very destructive and dangerous to the whole society. And we are seeing the rise of sexually transmitted diseases. Having herpes is almost a common thing in some parts of North America. I'm shocked to see how many people actually are carrying sexually transmitted diseases. If you look at the amount of abortions and so-called unwanted pregnancies, this is a sad case in terms of what is happening in society. And this could be avoided by going back to the prophetic model, and that is where sexuality is enjoyed within the confines of marriage. And the energy of the youth is put towards building, towards sports, recreation, and when it comes time for sexuality, it is done within the confines of marriage.
Mm-hmm. Tell us now, Shay, we're almost out of time. For the person that has just been warped, their mind has just been warped with MTV, with football, with, you know, all the different daytime, nighttime drama, that's all it promotes. So now, but they're listening to us, and they've been contemplating what is the purpose of life. How can we direct them to see the bigger scheme of things, to get them to really focus on why am I here in this life? Yeah. Who created me? What does he want from me? Give us that kind of advice before we leave so we give them something to reflect over.
Well, my advice for young people today is to travel, to leave the cities, go into natural settings, hiking, swimming in the natural world. When you go into Allah's creation, then you will see the beautiful relationship that nature has all of its parts, the animals and the trees and the fish and the natural way of life. That is the way human beings originally created. We're supposed to be fitting into the natural environment, and we are actually made as Khalifa, so that we are the representative of God, we are the protector of nature. So by going into the natural world, we see beautiful relationships. When we go into the cyberspace and the false created world, that is where the devil's erotica takes over. And it destroys our thinking and puts us into a dangerous way of life.
So we have 1 minute less. So is there hope now for that person that has done, you mentioned that illegal, this is something with God, that it's a major felony, right? Can you classify it like that? Major law break. So the person who's broken this law with God, is there still hope for them? They did everything according to their desires, but now they want to submit to the one creator. They want to do what God wants them to do. Is there hope for that person also who says, you know what, I got a mountain full of sins. What can I do now? I've taken it too far.
The beauty of the last message is that Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'an. Allah forgives all sins. So there is no sin that is too great in this life for the Creator to forgive. We have to be sincere, no matter what it is that we did, turn to Allah, make the intention, and try to change our lifestyle. Nobody is perfect. Everybody commits sins. But the best of the sinners are those who repent. That is what the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said. So there is always hope for us in this beautiful last way of life. But we have to be sincere and really turn to the Creator and really try to find alternative lifestyle that we can live as moral beings, modest beings, but still enjoy modern life and be happy and enjoy all the beauty of society that we have today.
Thank you very much once again for being with us here on the Deen Show. Inshallah, we can be together more if God Almighty gives us life. And there you have it, Valentine's Day explained to you. You've been exposed to the roots of it, what it really means when you're celebrating Valentine's Day. You might think it's something innocent, but look where it stems from. Look where it comes from. And you tell yourself and you ask yourself, who should I be working to please? My desires? Is it all about just satisfying my lower lusts and desires? Or satisfying the one who created me, the one creator? You know what? I'm going to die, and I'm going to have to answer for everything I did in this life. Judgment Day. So now if I've just been jumping around from man and woman, just satisfying my lower lusts and desires, and not caring for the one who created me and the laws that he sent down through all the messengers of God, including Jesus, Moses, Abraham, the last final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, they all came with the law of God. They all called us to worship none but God, the supreme being, the one creator, and not to set up a partner next to him, and to obey the laws that God Almighty has sent for us to obey. And man and woman come together inside of marriage. So don't sell yourself out. Don't cop out and the guy buys you a nice Valentine's Day chocolate, candy, and tells you all them sweet nothings, and next thing you know, you give yourself to him in the wrong way, and now you're guilt struck for the rest of your life. You've stained yourself. You've disrespected yourself, dishonored yourself. Don't let it happen. And you know what? Even if it did happen, you made a sin. Turn back to the Creator, who's the most loving, and ask Him for forgiveness. He alone is the one who forgives all sins. And strive your best to stay away from everything that displeases God. Because our whole mission in life is to work to please our Creator before we meet our Creator. And you have to express yourself, express your love to God, to the one Creator, by your actions. That's right, your actions, because talk is cheap. So continue to tune in here to The Dean Show every week, where we have another exciting show waiting for you. We'll see you next time. Peace be with you.